columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus, D-Mac, and Nick Ferguson.
Hobby Lobby Studios, that is fantastic. We got our Super Bowl steps written out. We have our big board of possibilities, of which I have a change for mine today. And I have something I want to do that I think you guys are going to hate, but I still want to do it. We'll see if you let me get away with it. Our free agent fever.
Just like that? That's it? I mean, you're going to tease it? You're going to tease your own partners?
Yeah, you'll see it coming up.
All right.
Free agent fever. Zach and Cecil haven't finished theirs, but everybody else is kind of done.
Well, it's hard to get to five. I mean, we're only on day two. Yesterday was day one. To get to day five, that's a long time.
Yeah, that's many days. And Jeff Breidich, you know, day one. Day two, day three, you know, that sort of stuff. But here, let me give you this one. Stefon Diggs has taken down all references to the Vikings, all Vikings-related posts from his social media accounts. That's not good, right? Okay, Stefon Diggs. Where are we with Stefon Diggs and that sort of concept? You know, the concept of getting a guy like him.
I love the idea of getting a free agent or trading for a wide receiver. So him in particular, I got concerns by. I heard Mark talking about it this morning about some people inside the building that have given him concerns. And I can verify that as well. That I've heard interesting stories about Diggs that make me a little bit concerned about him in particular. But the idea of signing like Robbie Anderson or even Diggs, I mean, if do your homework, whatever, if he's the guy, great. He's obviously a fantastic football player, mm-hmm. And then not having to like chase a number 15 for a wide receiver, that would sound super, super duper. I would love that.
Mm.
The reason why it sounds very enticing, even though I doubt if the Broncos will be able to pull it off, is because Stephon Diggs, I mean, under Pat Shurmur, and that means Case Keenum was a quarterback. I mean, astronomical numbers. I mean, explosive plays, touchdowns. We also remember the miracle against the New Orleans Saints. So would he definitely help and fit into what Pat Shurmur wants to do with his offense? Absolutely. Stephon Diggs would become the number one wide receiver. Cortland Sutton would become the number two wide receiver. It makes them a formidable foe. But the reason I don't think that it would happen at the end of the day, because I don't believe the Minnesota Vikings are ready to part ways with this talented wide receiver. I mean, Gary Kubiak has now taken over full-time play-calling duties. And I don't think he wants to give away one of his elite wide receivers to the Denver Broncos.
This goes to the bitter athlete thing.
Well, that's right.
Like, how bad is it, you know?
And the tides have turned. It's not just the bitter athlete thing, but players have proven time in and time out over the last 3 years. You want to get traded, you can get yourself traded. You want out, you can get yourself out. If you are a star player in the NFL, throw a big enough temper tantrum and you can get out.
Worked for Emmanuel Sanders.
It works for everybody. It worked for Antonio Brown. It works for everybody.
Stephon Diggs was the same player at the beginning of the season last year who was really upset and took to social media to express his level of upset when Kirk Cousins wasn't giving him the ball. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden they started giving him the ball, then it all changed. So how disgruntled is he really?
Well,
apparently enough to take the Vikings off his social media accounts.
Yeah, like
that's significant.
I'm thinking about like what it would take for me to take off references to the Fan.
Well, you'd probably have to get fired.
Yeah, I doubt I would be doing it like while I worked here. I can't even imagine what that scenario would be. Like, he's under contract, right? It's not like he's a free agent.
Yeah.
You'd have to trade for him.
Yep.
He's an employee of theirs. It's a weird thing to do.
So would you trade for him with him having three more years on his deal at 11.4? Would you do it?
The money doesn't really concern me there. Because I'm willing to pay that for Robbie Anderson. I'm willing to pay $10 million for Robbie Anderson. I'm willing to pay a wide receiver. Look, you've got Cortland on the cheap right now.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal to pay a wide receiver.
I'm not concerned about the money, but what would we have to give up for him? I mean, what's the value of him?
There you go.
That's a first rounder.
Oh, well, forget it then. Is it really a first rounder?
Yeah. I mean,
first rounders are tough to come by, though. I mean, I actually doubt if it is a first rounder. You know, like Darius Slay, when we were talking about him yesterday, I couldn't believe that people were talking about a first rounder.
I forget that.
It's
ridiculous.
Like, heck no. Like, yeah. First rounders, that's not a real my point is, I don't think that was accurate. I don't think that Darius Slay is worth a first rounder. I don't think many people outside of quarterbacks are worth a first round.
Yeah, I mean, give me something else. Besides a first round, what could you envision Diggs value?
Second and a third.
Well, okay, let's talk about it. The Broncos have, what, 1 second and
three number
thirds?
Yes.
Right?
Emmanuel was a four, right?
Emmanuel was a four.
Or DT was a four. What was Emmanuel?
Actually, was Emmanuel three?
It was a three and a four.
Okay.
So you're talking about a young guy who's still in the prime of his career.
So second and third sounds about right.
So we have three third-round picks, so that's not a big deal. We have a second-round pick that if we don't take a wide receiver, we would be taking one in the second round, most likely, right? We'd take an offensive lineman in the first. So now we have, who would you rather have, Diggs for a shorter period of time or like Reagor, who might go, who's an unbelievably talented, or Chenault, LaVisca Chenault. There you go. That's a better one. Would you rather have?
I'm going to go Diggs because
or Chenault.
Diggs has at least three more years on his deal. He's a fast wide receiver.
You'd rather have Diggs.
Yeah, because he's familiar with the system and he's a veteran guy.
I'd rather take Chenault, Ruggs, any of these guys, Rager, and here's why. At the end of the day, he's grumpy. He's an unhappy camper.
Oh, okay? you just don't, personality-wise, he's rubbing you wrong.
No, well, yeah, that's part of it. He's an unhappy camper on an extremely good football team. What's he going to be like on the Denver Broncos?
It could be different because a change of scenery.
What are the Denver Broncos next year?
Well, they're not an extremely good football team. They might be average.
They're not a 10-win team next year?
I don't think they're a 10-win team right now. No.
Really?
Uh-uh. No.
$60 million in space?
I think they're
12 draft picks?
I think they're 8-8. You might get to 9 if the ball bounces your way, maybe you get 10.
They fired Rich Gangarello? That doesn't seem like a 10-win team?
I mean, you got a rookie quarterback. He's a rookie to me.
I tell you what, there's a vibe about Drew Lock in terms of having a breakout season, and he's being mentioned in some pretty lofty company. I'll have details for that next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net, call 303-388-8766, or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's D-Mac, Nick, and Tyler.
Don't start with the orange-colored glasses crap yet again. We still remember Road to Redemption. We don't know anything about this team except that they're losing a lot on defense. Stop it! 4 wins max.
I hope it's more than 4.
What?
Oh, 4.
4?
Good.
Oh, my Lord.
Be a little rough. The glasses only look orange because of the skin color behind it.
4 wins. I heard you. Because I don't acknowledge you doesn't mean I didn't hear you. I think the sun got to D-Mac's brain, or 8-8 at best. Andrea.
See, Andrea? Yeah,
my goodness.
I'm right along those same lines with you. 8-8 until something else changes in free agency.
D-Mac, did you go to Los Favoritos Taco Shop when you were in Arizona? It's the only thing I miss about Arizona. I did not. I went to some good restaurants, though. Let me tell you. I had a good time down there. That's for sure.
Let's spend the rest of the segment on what restaurants you went to.
Citizen Public House was, I had a filet. Mm.
Citizen's Public House?
I'm telling you, in Old Town Scottsdale. Yeah, good.
Sounds like an old folks home.
No.
That's what it sounds like. It's Arizona, right?
Yeah, there's it's a lot warm. Of that. I get that.
Yeah. Not to insult anyone, but I mean, that's what it sounded like.
I'm just looking at the snow, and I mean, listen, I love the snow. Do not get me wrong. I love skiing. I love the mountains. I love Colorado. But you get tricked a little bit when you go down there, and it's baseball and it's spring training. You feel like, okay, it's, you know, here we go. And then we're in for the spring snow, you know, grind here in Colorado. I'm fine with it. It's all good. I mean, I love it. But it's just weird that in another part of the country, they're, you know, playing baseball.
You're not sounding very smart right now. It's weird how it could snow here. There could be, like, sun and, like, a whole different hemisphere, you know, like...
A whole different hemisphere?
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound like smart now? Hold on. What do you know now? Did you just lay out a whole different hemisphere?
Have you ever heard of an exaggeration? Have you ever heard of an exaggeration?
True or false? Arizona is in the same time zone as Colorado right now.
That's half the year.
Right now, what is it?
Right now, that is true.
That is true. You are so lucky you are guessing. Matt Bowen, former strong safety, current NFL analyst, was asked about the breakout seasons. Who will have a breakout season? In 2018, it was Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson in 2019. Matt Bowen has picked Drew Lock. Quote, Drew Lock has all the traits of a top-end thrower, decent movement skills, to make a second-year jump under Pat Shurmur. Up next for Denver, bolster the offense around its quarterback. Boy, we've been talking about that. Adding more speed to pair with the big playability of Cortland Sutton and tight end Noah Fant. How about that? Over Kyler Murray, Daniel Jones, Baker Mayfield, that sort of thing. What chances do you think that Drew Lock will be a breakout star in 2020?
I think the chances are definitely high based on what we saw last season, and knowing as though you have more experienced play caller in Pat Shurmur, who does better as an OC than he has shown that he can be as a head coach for the Giants. And then with the idea that the Broncos have $60 million to spend in free agency, that they're going to spend it well, and they're going to go out and draft, you know, guys to put around Drew Lock. I think, for Drew Lock, things would go for him as well as he can pick up this offense and the Broncos can put players around him. They do that. I mean, the sky's the limit for this kid.
Second year, man. Guys pop all the time.
Circle of trust right here. I can say anything, right?
Of course.
Nobody's going to judge me, right?
Nope.
No? No?
Nope. Maybe a little bit, but not much.
Yeah, yeah.
Not enough for you to not say it.
I'm just hoping he'll be average.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just average?
There,
dang,
I said it.
Dude.
I said it. Yeah.
Why do you say that?
I'm just hoping he'll be. He's a second round quarterback.
Is he really?
We haven't had. Yeah, he was drafted in the second round. Yeah.
First round talent, though.
Nope. Should have been a first round.
He was drafted in the second round. You know, yeah. Average would be great in his first year, like in his first real season. That would be a fantastic year. I'm not predicting that he can only be an average quarterback. I'm not saying he can't ever have a breakout season, but I have not seen anything to make me feel like he's going to have a breakout season. Mm. What have you seen that makes you feel like he's going to be a breakout guy?
Oh, it surprised me, actually. The whole concept of him, you know, the same level as Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes as like a breakout
star. That sounds crazy. That sounds like crazy talk to me.
Yeah.
Let's do well. Let's just do okay.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk. All right. I mean, let's convince ourselves that we don't have to draft a quarterback in 2021. You know, that would be cool. I don't need it to be a superstar year. I mean, I'm looking at a different list, by the way. NFL Network, they put out their QB index.
Mm-hmm.
So of all the quarterbacks in the league, where do you think Drew Lock is ranked?
Oh, man. Just right now?
Yeah, right now. Right now.
Five starts. Where is Drew?
25th, maybe.
I was going to say like 19th or something.
You both are off.
What is it?
29.
Wow.
29, according to NFL Network.
Out of how many quarterbacks?
Well, the list goes to 32.
29th out of 32?
Yeah.
And when that's kind of harsh.
On that list, do they have Tom Brady and Phillip Rivers and Jameis Winston on that list too as well?
They've got Tom Brady at, let's see. Where is Tom Brady?
Because I'm thinking about
Tom Brady's at 12.
He's at 12.
Tom Brady's at 12. Phillip Rivers is not on the list.
Who's 30-31?
No, Phillip Rivers is 21.
Who's 30-31 and 32? Who's Drew better than?
Okay, so Drew is better than David Blau, Devlin Hodges,
oh my God,
and Will Greer. Here's the guys just ahead of Drew Lock. Like, so this will be a reasonable comparison. Is this guy better than Drew Lock?
Okay.
Mitchell Trubisky, number 28.
No, I'm going to say no. I mean, Mitch has been in the NFL going on, 3 years now?
Got his team to the playoffs. I'm going to say yes.
I don't think you're going to like the next one. Andy Dalton, number 27.
I would definitely say yes.
Wait, yes, that who's better than who? I'm sorry.
Dalton's better than Drew Lock.
Yeah. Dwayne Haskins, 26.
No. Why is Dwayne Haskins better than Drew Lock?
Dwayne Haskins is not better than Drew Lock. He shouldn't be.
All right, I like this game. Keep going.
Gardner Minshew, 25.
Oh, man. I know, the mustache, the shorts, the van going across America. I know, the airport.
Is the stash better than Drew Lock?
I'll say right. Slight edge.
I mean,
very slight.
I'll say yes too.
Very slight edge.
Based off what we've seen, what we know, the answer is, like, right now, he's ranked ahead of him.
All right, who else?
Sam Darnold is obviously better.
Yep.
Jacoby Brissett, 23. Baker Mayfield, 22. Phillip Rivers, 21.
All right,
just goes up from there.
Okay, so I'll say this. There's a reason why those players are ranked higher than Drew Lock at this point, and that's because they've had more, live game starts. If things were equal, I think that list would be a little different.
Well, yeah, that is a true statement. I would agree. But that is also equally true to why I would never forecast Drew Lock to be in why you can't forecast him to be the breakout star.
If we were having this conversation last year at this time, where would Lamar Jackson be on that list? 29, 30, 31?
No. He would have been higher than that.
No way, man. You forget how much people are crapping all over Lamar Jackson.
Based on the level of criticism he received last year, he would have been like maybe 25th.
No, you guys are so wrong.
No way, man.
He would have been middle of the pack.
No way.
Based on the level of criticism that he received.
And don't forget the last game, that playoff game. He was terrible.
It would have been 15 through 18.
No way.
No.
Yeah.
No. And I think this is my opinion. But this is why Matt Bourne is saying that Drew Lock is poised for a breakout year. Because if you look at Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, and maybe a little different with Mahomes, but in their first couple of starts, they were not that great. So the idea is maybe Drew Lock will be much better in his sophomore season.
What is Lamar Jackson on this list? 2, 3, 4, something like that?
Lamar is 1.
He's 1.
Oh, Patrick Mahomes
is 2.
Oh my God, give me a break on that. But okay, fine. Let's mark the tape. Drew, there you go. It happened to Lamar. Why couldn't it happen to Drew Lock?
Exactly.
Let's all be witness to
breakout year 2020.
There's something going on that you guys should love, because you're old NFL guys, and nobody loves old NFL guys more than old NFL guys. Details next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's D-Mac, Nick, and Tyler.
Yeah, the old man's back in town. He's bred and cheered.
What?
He's come a long, long way with his reindeer hands.
Wow.
He's bringing lots of toys for all good girls and boys.
Oh, it's snowing out.
So spread
how much do you guys, as old NFL guys, how much do you
old NFL guys?
Oh, you guys are ancient.
I mean, Nick's like 10 years older than me, so I'm not offended.
So, D-Mac, you're older than I am, so.
Yeah, I'm not an NFL guy. I'm just an old guy. I mean. But as old NFL guys, how much do you love old NFL guys?
How much do you love your wife?
Wow, a lot. Do you feel a kinship? Do you feel a rooting interest towards them? Are you willing to give them the benefit of the doubt to see them?
Can you ask the question before you ask some vague question?
How do you like old NFL guys?
Are you talking about retired guys? Or are you talking about? I happen to be cheated, so I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
but there's a difference.
Okay,
listen, I like guys who can continue to play and earn that paycheck. But then there are certain guys who they're definitely past their prime, and they just should just kind of pretty much hang them up.
Hey, you're not past your prime until somebody won't pay you.
So
I'm not kidding.
When
I'm
you
not
guys
kidding.
Look at the NFL,
somebody's willing to pay you $2 million, you're not past your prime.
Do you find value in the older guys, or do you want to assign them value more so than younger guys?
Different roles. Different objectives, but yeah, I think they're tremendously valuable.
All right, let me put you to the test, because there are a couple of news stories today. Jason Witten has said he wants to continue to play football.
For who?
Well, he's not sure. He's not sure. But who do you think had, let me run the numbers past you. These are Jason Witten numbers, and then let me read you Noah Fant's numbers. Witten, 63.
I already know the answer.
63 catches on 83 targets. Fant, 40 catches on 66 targets. Witten, 569 yards, 8.4. Fant, 562, 14.1, obviously much better. Witten, 4 touchdowns. Fant, 3 touchdowns. Who had a better season, Jason Witten or Noah Fant?
Well, the stats say that they're pretty much identical.
And
except,
by the way, this was like,
thing.
Statistically, this was one of Witten's like worst seasons in a long time.
Yeah, there is one difference here. Noah Fant had the better season if you're talking about opportunities that he had. You know, Jason Witten had 63 completion or receptions.
Mm-hmm.
Noah Fant only had 40. All the other stats are almost identical, right? So you say, well, what if Noah Fant was actually targeted 63 times?
That was the argument I was making.
Right?
I mean, 7 targets in the last 3 games had me apoplectic.
I mean, in theory, that means that his numbers should have been a third higher, right?
If he got the targets that he should have got.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but he didn't.
You know.
Now, who's that on?
You can point your finger in so many different directions. You can say it was the play calling, the quarterback decisions.
Was that even on Noah Fant for not?
Absolutely,
Sure. For sure. It's all of the above.
Okay.
Although, actually, you know what? I'm going to put it. I think it's on Noah Fant.
Okay, why?
It's just on Noah Fant. He had opportunities early in the season where he's getting stripped. He had opportunities early in the season where he's dropping balls left and right. I mean, how is Joe Flacco supposed to build trust in him? How is he supposed to trust that? Not only that, but I mean, he had an offensive coordinator who was doing everything in his power to get him the ball in the most creative ways you possibly can.
Tight end, end arounds, remember that?
Yeah, you know what? Forget that. It's on Noah Fant. It's on Noah Fant.
Right. How important was Owen Daniels to your championship team?
Very. I mean, the stats wouldn't say that he was like one of the best tight ends in the league, but he was a safety.
Was he the best tight end on the team?
I would say by far.
Definitely not by far.
What about his red zone route running?
I can make a case easily that Virgil was the best tight end.
Right.
Easily, I can make the case that he was the best tight end.
Is that because of running and blocking?
The whole package. But OD was the most trusted tight end by Peyton Manning.
Okay.
But see, that's what
I'm trying to help you guys.
But that's where the separation comes from, the being able to be trusted. So looking at Jason Witten and Noah Fant, you have one guy who's definitely past his prime and one guy that's just getting started.
Would Jason Witten for 1 year, clearly be 1 year, essentially be a great influence, mentor, help?
For who?
Noah Fant and the Broncos offense.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Come on, Tyler.
You're paying Jeff Hyman $5 million. Drop it.
Right.
Swap it.
Wait a minute.
Swap it. What are you talking about? What is even the question here?
Yeah, but what would you get for Jason Witten? Right? How many plays?
Less than $5 million. I know I'm going to pay him less than $5 million. What do you mean how many plays? Look at the stats. We just read the stats. They're the exact same stats.
Yeah, but watching him play last year.
What do you mean? This isn't even a question. Swap it.
No,
Done.
No, D-Mac.
Swap it.
Look, watching Jason Wynn play last season.
Holy cow, not even a question.
It wasn't fluid. I get it.
It wasn't. And then as a defender.
Look at the numbers.
Yeah, but I totally get that. Are we talking about, explosive plays?
Right.
How many targets? Why did they have to throw to him? Because they didn't have a lot of options. You know, to throw to other guys once Amari Cooper was on and off the field.
You're talking about a guy that has seen everything the NFL has to offer. You're talking about a guy that has been to the broadcast booth, decided he wasn't good at it,
right.
Went back to football, and now has already announced that he wants to be a coach at the next level.
He has said that.
That is his next stop.
Right.
I mean, if he carries on, he is literally there for the sole purpose of being a mentor in the room and being able to contribute when he can.
D-Mac.
We don't need a guy to take numbers away from Noah Fant.
D-Mac, disrespect, but you can cover Jason Witten. Jason Witten.
Apparently the stats reflexes. Think that you are just absolutely wrong. The stats would tell you that you are 1,000% wrong.
I think it's a compelling argument. Owen Daniels wasn't the best tight end, but boy, did he did have the trust of Peyton Manning.
Reliable.
Yeah, and Owen.
This is a fantastic idea. Noah Fant
for one year.
Noah Fant is like got the entire world to learn. He doesn't know anything.
Well, you think Witten would be a good influence?
Yes.
No? I'll give you the. You don't think so?
No,
huh?
I just don't because it's like, okay, well. I guess you're going to pay him to just, you know, be a leader in the locker room.
No, I'm also paying him for 4 touchdowns, 529 yards, and 63 receptions.
If the idea is you're trying to make Drew Lock a better quarterback, Jason Witten is not going to help that.
He doesn't, huh?
He's not. He's running, 5-yard out route?
That's it.
I mean, he's not running wide shake. He's not doing it. He doesn't have the speed anymore.
It's going to be reliable. Every time you throw it, it's going to be 8.4 yards.
Throw it to a running back in the backfield, if that. At least the running back can catch it to the field.
Who we throwing it to?
Hey, guess what? You see up there?
Yeah,
on that board? Yeah. Kenyon Drake, that's who you're throwing it to. At least you get more explosive yards. Run after the catch, but Jason Witten, 5-yard out, you just tackle him. That's it. It's a wrap.
Dude, pay him $1.5 million. Let him come in, be in the room, be a coach, be a presence,
right.
And who cares?
It's a weird combination
to lose.
You'd get a guy. Now, listen, DeMarcus still had some gas in the tank. All right, who had more gas in the tank? Jason Witten next year, theoretically, or DeMarcus Ware in his
fight? DeMarcus Ware, of course.
Right, so it's not a great comparison. But there were leadership things that Ware...
How about Adrian Peterson?
Well, that's a fascinating one. He just got picked up. His 2020 option just got picked up. He is... You know, Adrian Peterson, we're going to look at him objectively, just in terms of football, as seriously one of the greatest running backs of all time. And he is furthering that legacy by continuing to play and be productive. It is actually amazing.
See, AP is an anomaly based on how he takes care of his body. That's why he is where he is right now. Jason Witten isn't that guy.
Oh, gosh, that one bothers me, too. That one bothers me so much. Jason Witten doesn't take care of his body. Have you looked at Jason Witten?
yeah, he shaved his head, yeah, but his body doesn't compare to what AP puts his body through.
I can't tell if you guys like old guys or not. It's confusing.
I like old guys.
There's a change. The big board. The bebop. I got an adjustment and something that you guys are going to hate, but I'm going to try to pull it off anyways. That's next.
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Shomp BMW.
Had you done the interview process well, Paxton Lynch wouldn't have been drafted here, neither would Garrett Bowles. That's a fact, and I've talked to multiple teams who have basically said, we interviewed him, took him off the board, both of those guys.
Schlereth and Evans, weekday mornings at 6 on Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Hey, my championship dealership, Shomp BMW in Highlands Ranch, has once again received the honor of the top volume new BMW dealer for 2019. Now, this is nothing unusual. Shomp BMW has been number one for the past 20 years, largely due to the positive customer sentiment to Shomp's one price, one person, one hour philosophy of car buying and being positive influencers and stewards in the community. I've witnessed the car buying experience firsthand, and it's truly unbeatable. Visit my friends at Shomp BMW, where it's always one price, one person, one hour.
Big O here from my friends over at SCL Mortgage, the home of MySpecialMortgage.com. SCL stands for Special Circumstance Lending. Have you been turned down on a home loan because your FICO score was too low? You need to talk to SCL. They can do loans with a FICO score of 580 and sometimes lower. SCL has decades of experience and can tailor a loan to fit your needs. The phone call can change your life. Reach out to SCL at 303-790-2222 or go to myspecialmortgage.com. SCL is regulated by door number 1200716.
If you haven't checked out Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men in Arvada, you are missing out. Get a precision haircut, hot towel treatment, and hot leather neck shape from one of their talented stylists for a great price. Lady Jane's in Arvada on Ralston Road, just east of Kipling Parkway, across from Walmart. Lady Jane's, it's wicked awesome.
Woo! Did you know every time you buy new blades for a Big Flex Hybrid, you get a brand new handle? Now that's smooth. Take it from JB. Some overpriced razors give you just one handle, and you're supposed to cherish it like a family heirloom? What you gonna do with that crusty old handle? Pass it down to your grandchildren? Ugh! All Big Flex Hybrids come with a fresh new handle. Switch to Big Flex Hybrid, and I will put your kids in my will.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's D-Mac, Tyler, and Nick.
It's time to go into the Hobby Lobby studios for the big board of possibilities, the Bebop, because I have some significant changes to make. And an adjustment to my board that I know the fellas will hate.
Oh, good.
So without further ado, and plus we have breaking news by Adam Schefter coming up that is really interesting. Stick around, but let me might change. Again, the Bebop, the big board of possibilities, is who we think the Broncos could target in the draft in the first round, where we think they're going to go or where they should be going. It's got to be based on something. Joe Burrow's up there for me because there was a report that the Broncos were talking with the Bengals, but it's time to make some changes. So here I go.
He's up. Chicago Bulls, Michael Jordan's walking in, actually. I think MJ is going to announce this.
Well, I guess if MJ was walking in, I guess D-Mac is...
A little
is...
more violence with that card. Let's go. come on. You don't... Listen. It's taking him 10 minutes to take the card down. Hey, just D-Mac's... Rip the dang thing off.
Tyler's giving you his best Michael Jordan, so I guess you are Steve Kerr.
Rip it off and move it. All right. Do you want us to give a play-by-play?
Yes,
play-by-play. Joe Burrow is off the board. No longer are we chasing a QB.
Can you fix your number one guy?
Our guy, Andrew Thomas, I say that's D-Mac's guy, who was number two on his board, is now moved up to number one. Oh, and now he's going to copy me. He's just going to flat out copy me. He's straight up just going to look at my board and steal my ideas, and he's going to put Josh Jones at number two. And finally, the name that we've all been waiting for. For months, he's been building up to it.
Wait a minute,
the ultimate tease.
He put Joe Burrow back on the board, though.
He's had no idea how to say his name for a long time. Tyler Biadasz is now on the board. Joe Burrow is crooked.
Can you fix Andrew Thomas? Can you fix that?
Is that bug you?
Yes.
No. Sorry. That looks great to me.
Yeah, fix your glasses then.
Well,
I mean, that's just...
I don't want to give you too much credit, Tyler.
What are you talking about?
But Mel Kiper has more influence on me than anything.
Mel copied me.
Yeah, so I'm putting Andrew Thomas number one. I'm putting Josh Jones number two. And in all honesty, either one of those guys feels fine by me. I put Tyler Biadasz on the board and said, Austin Jackson's just gone. Like, he's just gone. I got nothing with Austin Jackson. So Tyler Biadasz goes up there because I want to emphasize my desire to take offensive linemen, and I don't know if I'll make many changes, but I've made an adjustment.
I'm not good at math. I'm not good at this, but let me try. One, two, three, four, five. Five out of five offensive linemen.
That's what I have, yes. And I'm doing something with Joe Burrow that I'm anticipating you guys are going to hate, but I'm going to do it. I'm making him my floater.
Wait a minute, that wasn't part of the whole board?
We can't just make up rules around here.
No, we can't just make up rules around here. He's my floater.
He's off the board. I ripped him off. He's done.
No way. He's toast. Sorry, Joe.
We can't add bylaws.
Floater.
You can't change the rules once the game has started, D-Mac.
Unbelievable. He's a floater.
Unbelievable. You're a floater.
The floater. I would like to propose I'm a floater.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, I guess.
No, it means you won't stick to anything.
What I'd like to propose with the floater category is that you don't think it's going to happen, but if there's a world of possibilities where it could happen, you'd be in favor of it. So it's not to say I think that's going to happen, but if there's any availability to make it happen, do it.
What availability do you think that's in play for Joe Burrow?
It's the craziest scenario where the Broncos would trade with the Bengals and get the number one pick. Which I don't, I don't think it's going to happen.
Oh, my gosh.
See, this is why I don't like to play games with you, like, D-Mac. You're changing the game up as we go along just to fit you.
I knew you guys would hate it. I told you guys you would hate it.
Talk about, for all the trash talk you give Mike Evans for riding on the fence, let's talk about your offseason plans. On our very specific Super Bowl steps.
Draft offense.
Your first step.
Yeah.
Your very first, very specific step.
Yes.
Draft offense, pay defense.
Yes.
Thank you for that. That was fantastic.
Okay.
Let's come up with our big board of realistic possibilities, by the way. We forgot to put the R in there. It's realistic possibilities. And now all of a sudden we're just going to add floaters onto it.
Yeah, I'm throwing a floater on.
Yeah, because you are just really locking it in.
There's a floater in the pool.
It's not good.
You're pulling a Rob Manfred right now. You're pulling a Rob Manfred right now.
I knew you guys would hate it. I'm not apologizing.
Did you think about this on your drive back from Arizona?
What if I'm offended? If I'm offended, are you apologizing?
I'll tell you this. If you guys are offended, I am I am really sorry. I could take Joe Burrow down, but have some fun with the floater. I love the floater concept. Just let him float there. I'll probably take him down. But the bigger move is Josh Jones himself. And, yes, you saw it, Tyler. And we'll see. Where are you at, Nick, here?
I'm standing pat.
With Wirfs. Yeah, he's your only guy, though, huh?
Yeah. I could change by weekend.
I'll tell you this. We're never going to get to Derrick Brown. You got Derrick Brown on there. Simmons is still kind of interesting. Ruggs is still the slam dunk. If there's a favorite in the clubhouse,
absolutely,
it's Ruggs. And Riggs and Ruggs, but Ruggs in particular.
I'll make some changes later on, but I mean, you have all linemen.
I just cannot justify. There's too many good wide receivers that will be amazing later on. You just cannot make this mistake again. And look how many great offensive linemen are actually kind of around. But I don't know what the depth of those offensive. I would rather have, this is me saying, have a center than a wide receiver taken in the first round.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. Tyler Biadasz, is he on your board for number 15?
If all else fails.
That's a bad decision.
If all those guys, well, you'd probably drop down.
You'd get him in the second round.
It's a fair point. You would not draft him at 15. You would move back and take him.
I got one of those on mine.
Just like you'd have to move up for Wirfs.
Yeah.
You'd have to move up for Wirfs.
That's why I gave you the opportunity to clarify. I just want to make sure.
You'd have to drop back for Biadasz. Who else got interesting things? Like Evans with Kinlaw. They haven't really done anything. See, Evans still has Austin Jackson up there. You can't really take Evans seriously. Orlando's got Wills. He likes him. See, everybody else kind of has a mix of everything. Sandy has LaVisca, number one.
Really? That a baby, Sandy.
Has that been like that for a while?
Yes, it has.
You might want to rethink that one. Hey, Richie, these guys know they can make changes, right? They don't have to stick with this stuff, right? They understand there's some flexibility here, right?
I feel as though I've been very clear about all of these very simple procedures that go along with the board. They may have been confused about it, but we've revisited the conversation, and they know for sure now.
How many people have an offensive lineman? One, me. Two, Tyler. Drotar. Three. Is that it?
Orlando.
Four. Okay. Out of 1, 2, 3.
12.
Out
12.
Of 12.
It's not that
Four
hard.
Out of 12. 12.
12.
Yes, Mark Chibizo, the freshman who will be attending Texas A&M that Stink has, is an offensive lineman, but you can't obviously take that serious. So it's 4 out of 11. 4 out of 11. How many have a wide receiver? 1, 2, 3.
Four guys.
4, 5.
I did something interesting today. I went on to one of our favorite websites, NFL Mock Draft Database.
That thing is awesome.
And I went through the first 10 mock drafts on there, okay? And I tallied it up. How many of them have a wide receiver at number 15 for the Broncos?
Out of how many?
8 out of 10 had a wide receiver.
8 out of 10.
I mean, I could have kept going, but it was just...
Was it Ruggs for the most part, too?
No, it was all... I mean, I saw LaVisca on 2 or 3 of them. I saw Ruggs. I saw CeeDee Lamb. I saw a bunch of them.
Okay. But isn't that just groupthink right there?
That's what I'm saying. Like, isn't that just kind of lazy?
Watch this. Things will change now that Mel Kiper's put Josh Jones there.
I hope so.
Watch. Things will change this week.
So Mel Kiper is the biggest influencer in, obviously, what you just did.
You know, listen, I follow trends. Well, I'm not breaking down tape. Like, I could not tell you. I will sit here. If you tell me on film Josh Jones is better than Andrew Thomas, I'll switch if you're going to tell me that. I like Wirfs because I know he can start at guard and kick out to tackle at any point. But every single mock I see has Wirfs going in the top 10. And I know you said you got to move up to get him.
Yeah.
But is that really how John Elway operates? No.
I don't know. I probably should put Andrew Thomas on my board because the only reason he wasn't on my board.
He's been falling.
Yeah. Well, the only reason he wasn't on my board is he was like a bona fide top 5 pick for a long time.
Right.
And I was like, oh, there's no way. You know. And to be honest, I don't love big maulers like that. That's not like I don't fall in love with players like that.
All right.
But like if I'm being fair, is he better than Josh Jones? Probably. Yeah.
Why is he better than Josh Jones?
He has got the ability to swallow an opponent. He's got the ability to drive an opponent 6 yards off the ball. Josh Jones is an athlete. And Andrew Thomas, like right now, if you were just grading the college film, I think that he is better. If you were asking me to forecast who's going to be better in the NFL, I would actually tell you Josh Jones because Josh has the speed and the athleticism that it's going to take at the next level that I'm not confident Andrew Thomas has.
Well, Josh Jones just got tapped by Mel Kiper. That means something. He had a great Senior Bowl. That means something. And the Combine's coming up here in what, week and a half or so? So we'll see what movement happens after that. All right.
I can't believe you copied Mel, but not me.
Well, you were influential to me, for sure. You were the first one to bring up Josh Jones, period.
But Mel pushed you over the top.
Yes.
It's the hair. I know it's the hair.
I'm not just going to go just with Tyler. I mean, come on.
Your second opinion.
Let's keep it real. What has been interesting to see Andrew Thomas, for whatever reason, drop, that is... I'm not sure why that's even happening.
I love it. If he's dropping the way that they're saying... He makes an excellent choice if the Broncos are looking to pick someone up at 15.
You know what's great? The great news is look at the high quality guys in terms of offensive linemen, fellas, that really could be there without the Broncos doing anything.
Well, it's starting to look that way. Yeah. Early on in the process, it didn't feel that way. But here's what's happening. Tua is... He's changing everything.
I know.
Tua's changed it all.
Isn't that something?
You know, he was like a mid first rounder, a late first rounder. Now all of a sudden he's right back to where he started almost.
Can you believe we even talked about him just going back for another year at Alabama? I mean, it's like nobody's thinking about the injury. Nobody's really caring about it. They're just...
But he's changed the whole draft.
It's Tua fever.
Once you have a quarterback competition at the top, it changes it all.
Right. And it's like... Well, you see trends there. Mel was part of that, too, because he's got the Lions taking Tua. But
I don't buy that one.
Well, that could just be a placeholder. What he's really saying is that a quarterback's going to go number 3. Tua's going to go number 3, more specifically. And if that happens, that means Herbert may go 5, not 6, but 5, and everything kind of falls after that.
Yep.
So that puts 3 quarterbacks in the top 5, whereas we were seeing, I know it's not a big difference, 3 quarterbacks in the top 6, but once you push everything up a little bit, other things fall out. So this is all good news, I think, for the Broncos.
Do you think with Matt Rhule and being with the Carolina Panthers and them signing on Joe Burrow's passing game coordinator from LSU, could Carolina move up from 7 to try to make a run at Joe Burrow? Because that would be a perfect fit.
Well, where is Joe Burrow not going to be a perfect fit, though? I mean, what team is he going to...
I mean, I know, but it would be an ideal situation. You're passing game coordinator from college, and you got Matt Rhule, who's coming from Baylor, where they run the same type of system.
Well, this is the drama that exists in terms of how things are going to get pushed up. Or follow Mike Evans' advice and just wait till the second round. That sounds like a great idea. It's KKFN, KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver. It's 5 o'clock. Look outside. Don't you love it? Don't you love being in Colorado weather? Isn't it great?
Yes.
Clean air.
The snow was awesome this weekend in the mountains.
Who needs the stupid sunshine and baseball weather? No way,
man. Like to ski.
I do.
I thought you were a skier.
I do.
I was feeling pretty good about myself this weekend.
Oh, how'd it go?
It was great. My son knocked out his first black diamond.
Where?
Eight years old.
Where were you?
Keystone.
Nice. Where at? When was the run?
It might have been the easiest black diamond ever.
Was it a green black diamond?
No. But, oh. but there weren't really any moguls formed yet. it was Frenchman.
Yeah, of course.
So Frenchman, it dumps you off down into, I forget the blue that it dumps you off into, and then you finally go down to School Marm.
Right.
But yeah, he knocked that out. Yeah, I was proud of him.
That's awesome. Yeah. Skis or snowboard?
Skis.
Right, because he likes to go fast.
Skis.
We want to go slow.
Yeah.
Snowboard.
Yeah.
That's awesome, dude. Was he pumped?
Not really. I don't think he really knew what it meant. I tried to turn it into a big deal. And
he didn't go for it?
Yeah, he was just kind of like, all right, well, that wasn't that hard.
Then. What was the snow like at Keystone?
Snow was great. It was fresh powder everywhere. By the end of the day, we stayed a full day. We were there from opening until 3 o'clock. And by about 2:30, 3 o'clock, there was getting some ice because it was sunny.
Happens. But, a lot of traffic there at Keystone sometimes.
Yeah, but for the majority of the day, it was awesome.
By the way, Keystone, little known fact, has some of the best backcountry skiing in Colorado.
I know.
Imperial Bowl. I mean, you can hike it if you want to, but they have, listen, you got to be a pretty gnarly skier to be able to handle it. But you wouldn't think of Keystone having these type of conditions because it's such a close front range thing. But if you want to challenge yourself and you're a pretty decent skier and you got a couple bucks, I'm telling you, pay for the Snowcat service and go ski Imperial Bowl. It's one of the greatest experiences of my life, and it's right there at Keystone.
Keystone's a lot bigger than you realize.
What's that?
Keystone's a lot bigger than you realize.
No kidding.
Because you've got like the gondola, and then there's like the kids area.
Right.
That you feel like the kids area is supposed to be the end of the mountain.
Yeah.
But it goes. It goes.
Yep. Yeah, it goes way in the back, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, way, way in the back. Then you can pay like $5, which is nothing, to take a snowcat up even a little further off that backside.
I've never done that.
You should. It's fun. It's worth the $5. It's no big deal. It's fun to do.
I should.
It's not too hard. The Imperial Bowl stuff is like, you gotta have like avalanche beacons on.
I don't think that's for me.
So
I'm a pretty good skier, but I don't think that's for me.
You're worth a guide. They'll get you through it.
So know? What if I wanted to go skiing? It being as though I've never done it before.
Keystone's great.
Keystone.
Well, I mean, I would just go to Loveland with our guy.
Honestly, Loveland. Honestly, for a beginner, Loveland is fantastic.
Yeah, Loveland. If never ski, why make it harder on yourself?
Oh, I don't want to do that.
Go to the closest place that's unbelievable and friendly, but in all honesty, you can pick any resort or any area in Colorado. They all of them have reasonable places for beginners to just get on the hill and try to figure it out. All of them do.
So would I be the only grown man on the kiddie slopes?
No. Nope. You just look silly, but you wouldn't be the only one. There's other people that look silly all the time. And dress like you're from New Jersey, you know?
Wear jeans.
I was just going to go there.
Maybe wear an NBA jersey on top of it.
Yeah, or just a starter jacket of your, you know, the Giants.
Who has a starter jacket?
The people from New Jersey that wear jeans and are on the beginner ski slopes.
Yeah.
You see them all, the pants are all bunched up at the top.
Wait a minute. No, tell me you guys are kidding. There's no one on the ski slopes in jeans.
Yeah.
No, there definitely are people wearing jeans.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's something else. It's a trip. It's fun. I laugh at them.
You guys point at those guys?
Bang my skis and drop the snow on their head if they're, you know, underneath me. But, hey, and congratulations, too, to Parker the Snow Dog, who has been officially sworn in as the mayor of Georgetown. I believe it's a ceremonial position. I don't think he...
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Not sure either. News from Adam Schefter. Fellas, first reaction to this. NFL playoff structure is about to be changed. Under the current CBA proposal, 7 teams from each conference will make the playoffs with only one bye per conference. It would go into effect this upcoming season. More to come on ESPN. Fellas, on the surface, how do you feel about this?
More is better. More is better. I mean, this is a great idea. I think it's awesome. I want more football. I want more playoffs. This is great. It's a little bit surprising they did it right now before the CBA negotiations, and I wonder if that is premeditated in any way, shape, or form.
So if this rule was in effect last year, the Steelers and Rams would have made the playoffs.
That would have been fantastic. Wouldn't you have loved to see the Rams get an opportunity? Nobody wanted to play them.
So the Steelers would have taken on the Patriots.
Okay.
No, wait, the Patriots didn't get a bye. Who got a bye? The Ravens got a bye. Who else? Chiefs. So it would have been the, oh, wow. It would have been the Ravens and the Steelers in the wild card weekend. Come on.
That would have been great.
Come on. How's that not a great game?
It is.
There's certain facets of what's being proposed that I like. I like the idea of 3 preseason games, one bye per conference. I don't like the 17-game regular season, and I don't like the idea of adding more teams to the playoffs.
You don't like this
idea? I don't. Because
why?
Because with that, there's a possibility of mediocre teams kind of getting into the playoffs. And
are the Steelers or the Rams mediocre teams?
Neither one of those teams were, I didn't feel that they were worthy of making the playoffs. To me, you don't reward down stats. You don't reward teams who didn't really, you know, elevate their level of play.
Have you ever been on a mediocre team that did not make the playoffs, but you felt like if you had made the playoffs at that point in the season, you would have won a game or two? I have. I know I have.
Mm. See, it's hard for me because over my 10 years, I've been to the playoffs maybe, you know, 6 times. And the teams that I was on that we didn't make the playoffs, we didn't deserve to make it. So that's why it's a little different for me.
You had a nice run.
I actually won a playoff game with a 7-9 record.
Dude, I was so upset when that happened. You know, I was
thanks.
Not the good, but it's just like, wait a minute. Here's a team that's 7-9. And they get into the playoffs.
Oh, and they hosted the home game.
And then we beat the Saints, the defending champs.
Why, Richie? Why? Richie?
Listen, I think at the end of the day, you get a little get-off-my-lawn El Camino moment here. El Gordino.
Gran Torino.
What are you talking about?
El Camino was Breaking Bad.
Right, that's a meth thing. That's totally different. Gran Torino, that's what I meant. The concept is, once your team lost that 7th game, it was it. So whenever that happens, it really feels like the season's over. What this one more team will do will really extend the season for tons of teams and for the fans. It will extend interest in the NFL for weeks longer than normal. So a seventh loss does not – you could get into the playoffs – possibly with 8 losses.
Here's a great example.
It's exciting.
Think about Gary Kubiak's last season. We were 9-7. We were a pretty dang good football team. We were decent, man. We could compete with anybody. It all fell apart against the Chiefs. But that team, if they would have made the playoffs, they could have competed. They could have easily had a competitive football game. Easily.
I love it. The 17 games, by the way, you know that's coming, right?
I know it's coming. I don't like it, but I know it's coming.
By the way, another reason why it's coming, look what they're going to do. See, the owners are smart. Owners are smart. They're going to get the best of you guys. A new proposal on the CBA would give first round picks an escape hatch from the 5th year option, saying if you make the Pro Bowl in 2 of your first 3 years, forget about the 5th year option. If they want to exercise the 5th year in you, a team, you get the franchise tag money. How about that?
I like it because it's more of an incentive for those guys who were top drafted players to really go out and excel and perform well. And now the league is kind of rewarding you for that, as though they should.
There's two things players should ask for. And you want a 17th game, there's two things we want. We want lifetime health insurance for all players. You get vested, excuse me, not all players, but all vested players. So you play 3+ seasons in the NFL, you get lifetime health insurance.
Including the retired players.
The second thing they should ask for, I'm all for that. The second thing they should ask for, get rid of the franchise tag and don't negotiate. Get rid of the tag. Don't let it exist.
But look what you're getting here. You know, now if you're a first-round pick, you're one of the elite.
So to answer your question, I'm not in love with it because it's still trapping him.
It's a trick.
Yeah.
It's a cool trick.
So I don't like it at all.
It's going to mean millions for you if you can make the Pro Bowl two out of your first 3 years,
yeah,
which is hard to do.
But how many more millions could you make if you were on the free market?
Here you go, buddy.
Yeah.
Let's see where it's going.
So this is not a good thing.
Shiny toy in front of the players.
This is a complete, this is the opposite of a good thing.
Here's another benefit. After the rookie deal expires, with the franchise tender as the fifth-year salary, okay, the player would get a 20% bump if franchise tagged in year six. What this really does is incentivize clubs to make a decision in order to extend the contracts and never get to this point. But if you are, as a team, going to get to this point, you're going to have to pay for it. So you can do it, but you're really going to have to pay for it. It's a great thing. I see what you're saying. It's a bad thing, ultimately.
This is a trap. I don't see how you guys are falling for this. This is an absolute trap.
I'm falling for it. What do you mean I'm falling? I want a 17th game. I want more football.
Okay.
I want my team to make the playoffs. I really don't care about
you
guys.
I'm just telling you that this is not a win for the players. The franchise tag is the enemy of players.
We didn't ask you for, I'll kill you with truth right now.
By the way, what are you guys so defensive about this anyways? This is for first-round guys. We're talking first-round guys on this one, not, guys deeper in the draft.
Oh, so the rich can't make more money? Is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying it's a
weird... Are you going political on me?
No, God, no. Are you kidding me? Heck no. But to me, this type of thing, this type of adjustment, the seven teams in, you see what's happening, right? You see what's happening. This is all to get this CBA out of the way as quickly as possible and get that 17th game going.
I hope for once, just one time can the players not cave, just once.
Good luck with that one.
Put your foot down and command health insurance and command that the franchise tag is gone. Don't play the 17th game unless you're going to get something out of it.
Some of those players don't really think about that. They don't think about, life after football. They just think about, hey, listen, we're trying to make as much money as we can while we're involved with the game.
The rules here are fantastic for fans, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And here's
the franchise is the best. Well, okay, if I'm going to take a step back and I'm no longer in the player's shoes, the franchise tag is actually an incredible deal for the league, and it's an incredible deal for the fans, and it's a part of the reason why the NFL has so much success.
Right.
And the reason the NFL is so successful is because of the parity. And the reason why you can have parity is because you have the ability to not let your best player hit the open market. So the franchise tag, in theory, for the integrity of the game, is a good thing, but from the player's perspective, it's a bad thing.
And if you're a first-round bust like Garrett Bowles may be, I'm trying to think, too. He's going to be going into his fourth year. Oh, man. When do they have to announce if they're going to exercise? Yeah, a little research here, Kevin. When are they going to have to announce?
Soon. I think
when
it's,
is it?
I think it's in March. I think.
Because the official NFL year starts with March,
right,
March 8th?
March 10th, sorry. Prior to 4 o'clock, New York time. Deadline for clubs to designate franchise or transition players. Oh, that's not it. Is that it? No, that's not it. It's about May 3rd. Thank you, Kevin. May 3rd. So they have to figure out what they're doing with Garrett Bowles by May 3rd in terms of a fifth year. And we know if you don't get that offer, almost always it's 4 years and you're done. That's what happened to Shane Ray. That's what happened to Sylvester Williams. The only fifth-year contract that I remember even being picked up was on Bradley Roby, which is another weird one. Why wouldn't you just do a deal and keep him for longer, but you still want to see one more year? The fifth-year option was used on both Marcus Mariota and James. He did take a Roby day. Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston both got the fifth-year option exercised. These are good things for fans. with all due respect, the fans want the season for their team to go as long as humanly possible.
Of course.
They want to keep hope alive.
Every fan wants to know
that. How is that a bad thing?
From a fan standpoint, they like the idea of it because now extends the season for them. It gives them hope that they can get into the playoffs and maybe they go on a run. But for players, they don't see it that way. Players see it entirely different.
You guys will cave.
Of course.
We'll get the 17th game. We'll have two preseason games. Thank God. That'll be it. It'll be better. Now, if they can only extend the Super Bowl for another 2 weeks and put it on President's Day. Can you imagine the Super Bowl, by the way, was this past weekend?
Jeez.
No, wouldn't that have been cool?
That is a long time of enjoying football.
Think about it. What if the Super Bowl, fellas,
I could retrain myself very easily.
With Monday off.
Yeah.
That'll be great for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean,
Saturday problems. We no longer have the Saturday problem. You got the next day off anyways.
Right. Not great for the Daytona 500, but maybe you run the Daytona 500 in the morning. Can you imagine a day where it's the Daytona 500 and then later in the afternoon it's the Super Bowl? Come on.
That's sportsman's paradise right there.
Man, give me a break. That would be incredible.
Hold on. You watch the Daytona?
Sometimes.
Right.
I got a Talladega Nights question. And I'm so glad that the injured driver, I'm forgetting his name. I know Hamlin won, but, help me.
It's Newman?
Yeah. Newman, Ryan Newman. Thank you. I'm so happy to hear that he's better, he's up and about, and all that sort of stuff.
That was a wild accident.
It was unbelievable. But did any of you guys have the thought, as long as, and I don't know the answer, but his car was upside down as across the finish line?
Can you win?
It should have counted.
Does it still count?
It should.
Did he like come in sixth place because his car finished the race upside down across the finish line? I think so too. Well,
how can you not?
That's part of it, right? You know what? Let's ask Troy. Troy Rank from Denver 7 is with us. Our fan Broncos Insider, brought to you by Tranny Law. Hey, Troy, how are you, first of all?
Doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing great, Troy. If your car crosses the finish line at the Daytona 500 upside down, does it still count as finishing the race?
It should count. I believe it does. I'd have to look it up. I mean, I thought he still finished like third or fourth when his car went airborne. I need to look it up. Thank God he's okay. I can't believe he walked out of the hospital today.
Thank God he's okay.
A miracle.
So knowing he's okay, this is out of Talladega Nights. The text line's probably exploding right now. Do we know, fellas, Does his finish count even though he was upside down when it happened? That's the big question we have. Troy, how are you, my friend? We heard another Breidich apology. Let me play part of it and get your reaction.
You know, I'm sorry that our fans, you know, if they've been, you know, I'm sorry that it went this way. And that, you know, if it's caused them angst or it's, you know, they're our best supporters of Nolan. They're the best supporters of the organization.
And he kind of went on and on and on and on and on and on. By the way, it does count. He finished ninth. You can finish a race upside down. That is awesome to know. To Jeff Breidich, was it a better apology? Are we getting somewhere here, Troy? Or is this kind of what are we talking about here?
I mean, it's baby steps, slight progress. He acknowledged the thing I said on the fan on Monday when I hosted with John Davidson. Forget the media. You got to acknowledge this stuff to your fans who come out 28,000, 30,000 strong, whether you're good or not. They deserve an explanation of why you didn't add a free agent and why your offseason is defined by angering maybe the greatest player in franchise history. You can't just pretend that doesn't exist and it's going to go away. So Jeff was right to acknowledge the fans. The better apology would have been, I'm sorry that it went this way, and the fans deserve to know that. We can't get into all the details, but part of the reason we didn't spend any money is because the free agents I've signed the last few years have tanked. They've been awful. We believe they're going to rebound. I believe they're going to rebound. Nolan believes that. We're going to talk to Nolan because we all want to win. That's our goal here, and we're going to get back to the table with Nolan, make that clear, and go forward. That's Jeff at some point has to be accountable for the roster that's tangled. That's my issue. You can't pin stuff on Nolan. He is not your problem. whether he's happy or unhappy, the guy's a top five player in baseball. The reason you're not winning is because you pitched terribly last year. Nolan's not a pitching coach. And the fact you didn't upgrade your roster. That's because of Jeff's signing. So just show accountability to that. That's all. Those jobs are hard. No one's saying they're easy. But every time a player stinks, he gets benched or demoted or sent, you know, sent to AAA. General manager has to have accountability to roster decisions, and he needs to tell that to fans.
Troy, a little bit of a hard pivot here, but you've been all over the CU coaching search, and I saw you put out some tweets today that you said that it's down to Troy Calhoun, Brett Bielema, and Sarkisian. What do you know? What's going on?
Well, that's close. They certainly have interviewed. I confirmed they interviewed Troy Calhoun of Air Force, which is interesting because he's had overtures for years to be interviewed, and he's usually turned them down. He interviewed Steve Sarkisian interviewed today. Brett Bielema is already interviewed, you know, and I'm being told that, you know, there's just no traction with Eric Bieniemy right now until that, you know, I guess he says he's out. People will wonder, but, you know, he's in a position to get a pro job after this season. So those are the three that have emerged. Jim Moore Jr. was in it. I don't see him in the same vein as I see Bielema, Calhoun, and Sarkisian. Again, well, a good friend of mine tweeted out that an offer's out. So they could have clarity here in the next 48 hours, I would think, as they move forward. All of these guys have strengths. All of them have weaknesses at this point. You know, Calhoun, can he run a different offense after being at Air Force? Can he recruit the type of athletes that aren't going to run the option? Sarkisian knows the Pac-12 from Washington, USC. His off-field issues are well known with the alcoholism. Is everything good there where he could take the stress of being a head coach? And Bielema, great at Wisconsin, disaster at Arkansas. You know, could he find magic again that he found at Wisconsin? So interesting choices. I told Cheverini interviewed, but you know, he's not viewed right now as we sit here today as the guy that would be the head coach. But I know they're trying to put a good package together for the next head coach and also find a way to increase the money for the assistants, because that's part of the reason Tucker left is, you know, the assistants not getting paid and leaving because it's just not on the par with some of these other schools.
All right, well, if in theory an offer actually is out there, do you have a gut feeling?
I don't yet. I wish I did. It's because they interviewed essentially seven guys, and it's just hard to really know where they're leaning. I mean, Calhoun, because of the local ties, you think, man, that would make sense, but he doesn't necessarily profile as the recruiter and the type of athlete and his offense. Is that fit? Sarkisian on paper makes the most sense if his off-field issues have been reconciled and resolved. But, you know, is that a home run hire? I don't know that you can get one at this time of year. Bielema, I just don't know. I just don't know that Bielema doesn't make as much sense to me because I think he would jump for the next job. He'll be leaving a job as the outside linebackers coach the Giants that he took a week ago.
Well, he's proven he's willing to also. He's proven he's willing to jump to the next job before as well. He's got a little bit of an interesting background himself that's similar to Tucker.
Yeah, there's some concern there. Again, Calhoun is, you know, like if Calhoun, he'd probably be his destination final job. Just like he stayed at Air Force 13 years and had plenty of opportunities to leave. There's a lot to like about it, his candidacy. I just don't know. Air Force is unique. It is in a vacuum in terms of college football. So his success there should be praised. It's just different almost everywhere else than it is at Air Force. And so Sarkisian, again, he fits a lot of he checks a lot of boxes. It's just his exit with USC is ugly. He doesn't deny that. He's talked about his problems with alcohol in 17 when he replaced Kyle Shanahan with the Falcons. Said, you know, it's a daily battle for him. That was a couple years ago. Based on the fact he worked for Alabama this last year, you got to believe that a lot of that stuff he has a handle on it because there's no way with Nick Saban that you're putting in a half day and not working. I mean, under Saban, that's as disciplined as you get in terms of college football structure.
All right, we appreciate it. Troy Rank, always great. Are you going down to spring training?
It doesn't look like it, and that's fine. Okay. Nick Rothschild was down there, did a great job with Jeff Howe. I mean, I went, 16, 17 straight years. I'm good. If I want to get down there, but if I don't, it's not the end. I'll see the team soon enough.
Okay, good enough. Thank you, Troy. We appreciate it.
Yep.
Troy Rank, courtesy of Trainee Law. How much control does a head coach need? It seems to be the big question. We'll address it next.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.